Could a 9-year-old upset the entire Russian government? Find out on It's Supernatural.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. Speaking of naturally supernatural, my guest, Evangeline Weiner, I mean, from before you were even born, your parents were speaking about the invisible world and the supernatural to you. Tell me what happened when you were 5 years old in Ocala, Florida.
Yeah, well, in Ocala, I was always, I went with my dad, he was speaking there, and we were always trained that no matter how old you are, however, you know, whatever experience you have, it doesn't matter, because we all have the same power, you know, in God. And so anyway, in Ocala, I had my own prayer line there, and it's really the first time that I remember praying for someone and really seeing them get healed. And I prayed for this lady, and she had cancer, and you could visually see her lump under her arm. And so I laid hands on her. And
well, then, I mean, you're a little five-year-old. You must have had to get on a little stepladder or something.
Yeah, probably. And I was really short, too. So I wasn't supposed to make it past 5 feet. But anyway, that's another miracle. No. So anyway, so I prayed for her, and I literally saw the bump. She went to the restroom, came back, and screaming, "I've been healed, I've been healed." And literally, you could see under her arm that it was gone. The cancer had disappeared.
What effect did this have on you?
You know, I think it had, it just makes you, you know, you're told a lot of things, you know, this is true, this is truth. But when you begin to experience the power of God, the supernatural power of God, you begin just to realize really that it's truth, that God still is a God who heals, you know, and he can heal through a five-year-old, he can heal through anyone. He doesn't need someone to have a degree or anything.
Okay, I mean, but then then bigger and better things.
Yeah.
You go with your family to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see there with your own eyes?
In Russia, you know, we went right after the Berlin Wall fell down. So it was a time when, you know, there was so much transition happening in Russia. But when I was nine, I was playing in the playground, you know, like a lot of kids do. I was by myself. I don't know why, but I'm a pretty independent kid. So, or I was. I'm not a kid anymore. So anyway, I saw this kid getting pushed in a wheelchair, and I asked his mom, I said, "What's wrong with your son?" And she said, "He's a paraplegic. He's never walked." And I said, "All right, well, you know, we've brought all these people from all over the world, you know, who we believe in the power of God, that he wants to heal your son." And she said, "Well, that's okay. You know, my husband's a professor at the University of Moscow. He's an atheist, but I'm desperate. So, you know."
How old are you?
Like eight.
Like 8 years old? Mm-hmm. How do you have such chutzpah? That's a Hebrew chutzpah. Word. It means nerve. How do you have such chutzpah?
I guess when you've seen the supernatural, you know that God can do it. You know, I saw God do it. It says it in the Bible that he does it. So why believe anything different?
So you're telling these parents who have the child in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that God can heal her son, that he still wants, you know, that he wants to heal her son. And she said, you know, "My husband's an atheist." And, you know, I said, "Well, that's okay, just come with us." So I looked everywhere for, you know, some people who had come, I wasn't thinking correctly, you know, to pray for him. And I couldn't find anybody. So in my frustration, I just said, "All right, I'll have to pray for you myself." So I just took the kid, you know, ripped him out of the wheelchair and said, "All right, you got to walk." You know, and literally he had never walked before. So I just took him by the hand and he started walking. And later that night, they came back to our meeting because I said, we were training students, and I said, "I want to show them what God did." So the little boy ran across the stage to me at that point, and the mom fell on her knees and just gave her life to the Lord right there. You know, and that family got saved because of the power of miracles.
And speaking of the power of miracles, I mean, according to my notes, when you're 5 years old, you were seeing people with blind eyes,
yeah.
The eyes open, the deaf hearing.
Yeah.
Tell me what you saw with your own eyes.
Yeah, well, we would have our own prayer lines, like, you know, everywhere we went. So in Russia, because I spent most of my childhood in Russia, so in Russia we'd have lines of people, you know, and they didn't have the same kind of medical help that we have here, you know, and basically all their choice is to get a healing.
Is it God or die?
Right, exactly. And so they would come
forward. No vitamins, nothing.
Exactly. And so they would come forward, and literally I just remember being like, okay, can you hear yet? Can you hear yet? All right, next person, you know, because when you start to really see it, it just builds your faith that much more. You know, you see it and you see it and you see it, and it just begins to build your faith, to begin to just believe for the miraculous.
What do you, having seen those kind of miracles in other countries, in third world countries, here we are in America.
Yeah.
And candidly speaking, I know you have as much faith in America as you do anywhere
Absolutely.
Else. But we don't see as much.
Yeah.
What is about ready to happen? What is God showing you?
You know, I feel like we're entering a season of the greatest revival that we've ever seen. And not just revival of people getting saved, but also reformation of society. People realizing also who they are in God, walking in the miraculous, no matter if they're a plumber, you know, going into someone's house, seeing, you know, God move through them. And I think we're about to really experience the supernatural like never before, experience salvation like never before. And we're entering into that era.
And you told me that's why you wrote your book, so that people could enter their destiny.
Absolutely.
You see, she understands faith like few people. I mean, how would you like to have from actually, even before being born, your parents speaking faith, living faith? That's the environment she was raised in. You're normal, and you want to make other people normal with your book. Don't
go
away, because the miracles get even hotter. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Evangeline Weiner. And Evangeline, you told me miracles are starting to break out even in the United States. Tell me one you've seen recently.
Yeah. Well, you know, God's the same everywhere, you know. So in America, even recently, I was at a university campus in the East Coast. And we were just speaking to students, you know, who are interested in the supernatural, who are interested in God. I just stood up there and began to speak to people. People weren't Christians or anything. They weren't believers. Just at the end, you know, I just said, is there anyone who needs to be healed here? And this girl stood up, and she was from an African nation, actually. She was from Sierra Leone, and she had become paralyzed due to the noise from war, from like civil war in the nation. And so through her hearing or something, her whole one side of her body had gone paralyzed. And it was crazy because, you know, here we were just coming in as a student club, sitting with people who are studying and doing different things. People are trying to pretend like we're not even there, you know, the students. But anyway, so we laid hands on her, and she literally began to get feeling in her arm. She walked around, she started moving her arm, she started moving her leg. We had all the family and all the aunts screaming and yelling, and you know, and I mean, it happened right there in the middle of a campus, in the middle of a study hall, basically. The power of God showed up.
Now, when you were 14 in Russia, you conducted your own seminar on faith, and you expected a few people to show up. It was mostly pastors and people like that. How many came to your seminar?
I was 11, actually, but it was 350 came, and we experienced the power of God there, too. And I prayed for these two communist girls. I didn't know at the time that they were the daughters of the Communist Party, the head of the Communist Party in that area. But I prayed for them, and they went home, apparently, speaking in another language because their parents were furious and called the governor's assistant of religion affairs. And the next morning, my dad came to me, and he said, "Come on, Evangeline, you got us in trouble." He was just kidding, but he said, "You know, this is pretty good. The first time you ever preach, you're already getting persecuted." So anyway, we went in there, met this big, bald.
Now, you would have to know, you'd have to know her father to appreciate that. I can picture him saying that. But can you imagine an 11-year-old going before the heads of the Communist Party?
Yeah. And
were you nervous?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I mean, I was kind of.
Of course you were.
My dad was more nervous than me. He probably had more understanding that I could be sent to Siberia, or he could. So, no, I'm just kidding. But
well, they have good salmon in Siberia.
Yeah, I guess it can't be that bad. So, anyway, so I sat there, and this big Russian bald guy sitting there, and he's like, "Who's who's done this? Who has ruined all the peace of Russia? You know, he's furious. And anyway, God got us out of there. But it's just amazing, you know, what God can even do through anyone who's willing to just say, God, use me. Here I am.
Well, that's what I love about your book. Yeah. For instance, Jennifer Toledo, you tell her story.
Yeah.
Tell me about
Jennifer
her.
Toledo was a girl who lived in California, and really her life came to a focal point when she, you know, was sitting in Taco Bell one day, and she felt the Lord say, you know, you choose today who you're going to serve. You know, she always thought, I can serve God or serve the devil, but she never thought, I can serve myself. And she had this dream school she wanted to always go to, and she was feeling the Lord tell her to go to Africa. And originally to Canada, then to Africa. And he said, if you do this, I'm going to use you to change this nation. And so she began to step out, lay one thing down after another of her heart's dream, even marriage. You know, at the time she was wanting to get married, and the Lord told her, why don't you lay that down? You know, and she didn't want to, but it had to do with her getting to where God had called her to go. So anyway, she went to Africa. When she went in, they had AK-47s. There were the World Vision trucks, you know, for food were there because of the desolation of the nation she went to. And she went there, and basically through a series of events, you know, there was a curse that was on that nation. And every time of the same year, all these witch doctors got together on what was called Goat Mountain and made sacrifices to the devil for their nation. Or the firstborn children that were born that were babies would bleed out of their nose. In the city, everybody knew that this happened because of the curse that was on their nation, even the pastors
there. How could this young girl go there by herself?
Yeah.
She reminds me of you.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think she just realized who God was, you know, that he was still the same God that uses David to take out Goliath, and that's even the term she uses.
Well, she ended up in the hospital dying, and she had a mysterious visitor. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, she was dying in the hospital, and you know, why she was there was no explanation, but they said she was going to die. And when she was sitting there, you know, laying in bed, she saw Jesus. He came in, and he literally took his hand, and you know, she saw him cut her open, so to speak, and clean everything off, put it back together. And the next day she woke up, and she goes, I'm hungry, bring me something to eat. You know, she hadn't eaten in weeks, and she was on the verge of dying. So Jesus himself came and healed her.
What did the doctors have to say about that?
Oh, they couldn't believe it. They were saying, you know, it was a miracle that she was healed and that she was alive, that she was hungry, all of it.
But even greater than that miracle, this one girl that fulfilled her destiny. And that's what Evangeline is talking about in her book. This one girl, you're one person to fulfill your destiny. What effect did she have? I believe it was Kenya.
Yeah. Well, by the time she left, the last time she went there was no more World Vision trucks. They didn't have to be escorted by AK-47s. The land actually grows crops now. Before, it was in famine. So literally, the curse is no more. So it literally changed the whole atmosphere of the nation.
We're going to be back in a moment. You're going to find out about a Jewish Indian woman that moves in such extraordinary signs and wonders. People with AIDS are being healed. And if you know someone with HIV or AIDS, this is your moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Evangeline Weiner. And Evangeline, when you were 14 years old, you go to Indonesia and someone tries to choke you. I mean, you can't say you're not living an exciting life, an adventurous life.
That's right. It's the greatest adventure. Well, I was 14. I was doing a seminar there at a conference, and all of a sudden people started screaming. They said, this girl, she's dying, she's dying. You know, in the middle, they interrupt me. And I was like, oh man, someone can't die on my watch, you know? So in the middle of a meeting, no doubt. So I got up, I ran over there. Everyone's circling around this little girl who was actually smaller than me. She was very petite. She was laying on the ground, and she looked just lifeless. And I went and joined the circle and I began to pray for. And I, as I said, in the name of Jesus, you know, because I believed it was just for healing. I said, in the name of Jesus, we command the sickness to go. And all of a sudden, her eyes went one way and popped the other way. And literally, you know, I saw a spirit come over her eyes and she started getting up and trying to choke me. And literally it took 10, 15 people to hold her down. And she's smaller than me. And,
but it shows me that if it took that many people to hold her down, how strong is Jesus inside of you?
That's right.
That's the
thing.
That's right. You know, some people talk about, oh, the strength of all these 10 men trying to hold her down.
But the power is in
yourself.
Jesus. Yeah, the power is in Jesus. And so it's funny because even this pastor's wife that was with us, you know, she had stopped back, you know, she had stepped back and she was freaking out, you know, hiding behind all these people. And I'm like, hey, I'm 14 here. No, it was cool. But anyway, so I was just praying. I prayed for the lady and I just, you know, began to pray for her. And she threw up actually 3 drops of blood. And she got up and she was normal. And she came up to me after and she said, do you know what happened to me? And she began to talk about how when she was little, her grandfather was a witch doctor and had dedicated her to Satan with 3 drops of animal blood, like of a fox, a cat, a snake. And so when she got delivered, she literally threw up 3 evenly placed blood. Spots of blood.
Look how her life was transformed.
Absolutely. And she was healed too of that lung problem because that lung problem had come in with being dedicated to Satan.
Okay. Tell me about someone else in the book.
Yeah.
For instance, there was a Jewish woman who she was, her mother, I believe, was Jewish. Her father was Indian.
Yeah.
Tell me about her.
Yeah, Shara is her name. And she, her mom was Jewish. Her dad was Indian. You know, they were atheists. And basically, they just always taught her to be a good person and have a heart for the poor. They always were raised that way. And, you know, they took her to see Mother Teresa and in India to get a heart for orphans and different people. And one day, someone in school asked her, do you believe in God? And she never even thought about it before. Do I believe in God? So she started to question, is there a God? Is God real? And she started to evaluate every world religion. She would study privately in her own closet of her house because she didn't want her parents to know, you know, Buddhism, all the different religions. And finally it came time for Christianity and or for Jesus. And she began to say, I don't believe you're real. I don't think you exist. But if you do, show me you are. And she went to this meeting with some friends. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit her and she literally flew across the room. And at that moment, she knew that Jesus was real and that he was the realness she had been searching
for. When you say literally flew across the room, what do you mean?
Well, the presence of God hit her and she literally flew into the wall. And this was at something conservative where this kind of stuff does not happen. And everyone was like, what's going on? What's going on?
And what's going on with her today?
And today, you know, she works in Africa with Heidi Baker, and she sees the presence of God on a daily basis there. They see provision for orphans. They see miracles of even, as you mentioned, of AIDS, people walking, the blind seeing. And, you know, even today, if you're out there and you need a miracle, I believe today God wants to heal you. Even yesterday, as I was praying for today, I saw that there is someone who's crippled by fear and just hopelessness. And God wants to give you. He wants to give you faith again. He wants to renew your dreams, your vision, and really remove you from just filling off life's checklist of all the, you know, the things that we have to do in life and start, you know, igniting your heart to begin to fulfill your dreams. So if that's you right now, I just, there's going to be supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding that's coming on you right now in the name of Jesus.
You know, I can feel that peace right now. Can you feel that peace?
Absolutely.
Now, you've gone out on the campus of Yale University miracles have happened there. Tell me about one.
Yeah. Well, one time we were walking with Jason Westerfield, who you've had on the show before, and we were walking throughout Yale's campus, and we were close to the bookstore there, and this guy pulls up and he gets out of his car, and right before he had pulled up, Jason said, there's a miracle about to happen here. God's about to do something. And so I was like, okay, totally, you know, I'm, you know, whatever. So we're walking and this guy pulls out, you know, just pulls up in his van and walks out and he's got, you know, crutches and a cast. So he comes over and Jason and I walk up to him and we say, hey, can we pray for you? We believe God wants to heal you. And he said, it's the weirdest thing. I wasn't even supposed to come by here, but I literally just felt like I was supposed to pull over and come to this bookstore. I never come here. And so anyway, we began to pray for him. And afterwards, he just said, thank you. And he looked at me and he goes, what are you thinking? And I said, well, I'm wondering if you can walk. And he said, all right. So he you know, took off his cast and he began to walk. And he was healed. And then all of a sudden, I just started seeing this vision of this guy of his life. And I began to pray it over him. And, you know, he began to weep because it was, he told me it's a vision that I had 10 years ago in a dream. And I don't even think he was a believer, but that he had 10 years ago in a dream of the purpose of his life. And he had never told anyone.
You know, I'm thinking about that young girl that spoke forth, mostly pastors, 350 pastors. How old were you?
11.
And you were teaching on faith. Why would pastors come to hear you at 11?
I know. That was the wonder. But, you know, I think it's because they want to see the power of God. And a lot of times, if we see someone who we think is qualified, then we can say, oh, but that's that person. Oh, that's Billy Graham. Or, oh, that's this person or that person. But when you see an 11-year-old, there's nothing, you know, that they have except for the power of God. It's just supernatural.
Well, it comes so natural for you to understand faith.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would tell us some nuggets about walking in faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I think number one, you just have to step out in faith. One of the hardest things to do is just to step out. You know, even with Jason, I asked him, you might be thinking, how can I pray for people, or how is there miracles? But in reality, he even told me, I don't even get a word for someone before I talk to them. I just begin to talk to them and just step out. And God gives me the words as I step out in faith. And so I think one of the biggest things is it's like a muscle. A lot of us have heard these terms before, but, you know, it's like building your muscle in a gym. You know, with faith, you just begin to step out
and
every time.
And, you know,
time.
The opposite of faith is fear, which
Absolutely.
You were talking about
Absolutely.
A little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's what's bound most people.
Yeah.
So they're not operating in faith because, as you were saying, Jason said, sometimes I don't have anything, but I see someone that's hurting. I see someone crippled.
Right.
I just walk up to them and that's when it happens.
Right. And you know, faith too said can be for anything. It can be for your finances. It can be for fear, intimidation, for your dreams. It can be for health. It can be for your family. Faith goes into everything that you do. God wants to do miracles in every area of your life. You know, even I felt like I was supposed to buy a house. And the crazy part is I saw it and I knew this is supposed to be my house. I wasn't qualified for it. Nothing happened, you know, like that in the logistical terms. But literally, I went in there and the people, the guy was into the new age, the real estate agent and all this stuff. And they said, we've had 7 offers on this house, but we just see this aura about you. You know, we see this aura and there's just something about you and we really want you to have this house. And the person who had, you know, who is the next highest offer was $60,000 to mine. And the owners and the realtor were like, we want you to have our house and we want you to buy it.
Well, that's extraordinary favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of the supernatural power of God.
So with the economic times we're coming into, are you fearful at all?
I think at times you fight with a fear and you just have to go back to the peace that is there. There's such a supernatural peace that comes when you realize God provides all my needs. God's never failed me ever, you know, and you see even in the Bible that even when a sparrow falls, he knows. And so I think sometimes you feel that way. I feel that way. But then I just give it to God and I rest in the peace that he has.
Are you excited about the future?
Absolutely.
Your future, the future of the world?
Absolutely, I am. And I see, you know, I see the light getting brighter and brighter, and I see the glory of God coming more and more to earth. I don't see it getting, you know, there is certain things that are getting darker, but I see that his redemption is near and it's exciting.
There's going to be a contrast between light and darkness.
Absolutely.
Remember the favor that Evangeline had? How would you like to walk in that same favor? It's available to you. The light of God is getting brighter and brighter upon you. You know something's going on. You've cried out, all I want is peace.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one way you can have peace, and that's to know God for yourself. Not because someone else knows God. Know God for yourself. Take a little baby step, and he's going to run and put his arms around you and kiss you and tell you that he loves you and you're so important and there's a destiny on your life. If you'll ask God to forgive you in Jesus' name of everything you've ever done wrong and believe he does it, and he will, then you're clean. And then that you're clean, You say out loud with your mouth, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Come inside of me. You say, Sid, that's so simple. Well, he made it simple.
Yeah.
So guess what? He gets all the glory. That light that Evangeline was talking about that radiates from her, you saw it. You were provoked to jealousy. The light of God is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Just, you know, you could raise your hands, they're holy right now, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you.